Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to FRAD Accessible Cinema, FRAD's program on media accessibility and inclusion to inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. This is our third episode. In the last one, we discussed the importance of working together in order to provide high-quality media accessibility. Once again, we received many enthusiastic comments and feedback from our listeners based in Europe and beyond. So, a big thank you to all of you. But for the few of you who missed our last episode, well, you can find it on FRAD website. We also shared information regarding practices and events related to media accessibility that you sent us, and we will be giving voice to all of you, so please keep contacting us through FRAD website. You might have also discovered this program thanks to Media Accessibility Platform MAP, the first collaborative online platform gathering information on the history and the state of the art of research, policies, training and practices in the field of media accessibility. So do visit MAP website, mapaccess.org, to listen to FRAD Accessible Cinema, but also to find more about past and current projects dealing with media accessibility. And this third episode of Accessible Cinema is precisely dedicated to a project co-founded by the Erasmus Plus program of the European Union and addressing media accessibility and inclusion, the European project Live Text Access, LTA, a strategic partnership focusing on real-time subtitles. As you all know, FRAD has always been committed to accessibility and social inclusion, and the need for real-time subtitles has risen since the adoption of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities by the European Accessibility Act and the Audiovisual Media Service Directive. Both are asking providers to ensure access to people with a visual or a hearing disability, and many subtitlers still lack specialized training or their professional status is somehow not clear or recognized. So the LTA project approaches this mismatch between trained and needed skills in the labour market through a collaboration between educational and non-educational partners. And in this episode, we will be bringing interviews with the partners of the LTA project, which are SDI, University of Applied Languages, Munich in Germany, Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona in Spain, Scuola Superiore per Mediatori Linguistici of Pisa in Italy, European Certification and Qualification Association in Austria, Velotype in the Netherlands, SubT Access in Italy, ZDF Digital in Germany, and the European Federation of Hard of Hearing People in the Netherlands. This complementary mix of educational and non-educational partners is definitely one of the main strengths of the LTA project. So, we will start with Rocío Barnabé, who leads the LTA project, and Pilar Orero, who will give us an overview of the project and will tell us more about its main objectives. And one of the aims of the LTA is to harmonize the professional profile of real-time subtitlers across Europe. But who are real-time subtitlers and who are re-speakers? Well, Carlo Geni, our third guest, will clarify some terminology issues for us. And speaking of professional profiles, we will then hear from Miriam Angman, who will tell us how live subtitles are made and how real-time intralingual re-speakers work at ZDF Digital, a public broadcaster based in Germany. But there is a further way to provide live subtitles, so not only by respeaking, but also by velotype. And we will know more about velotypists and the needed skills to work as a velotypist and to produce high-quality live subtitles with Wim Gerbex. Speaking of high-quality subtitles, with Esteia Onchins, our next guest from the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona, which has taken over the role of quality manager in the project, we will talk about quality in media accessibility and the importance of adopting a user-centered approach. And with our next guest, we are going to look at the LTA project precisely from a user's point of view. Marcel Bobeldich will tell us more about the current situation regarding real-time subtitling in Europe. Finally, to know more about the final stage, but also the future of the LTA project, we will listen to Gabriele Sauberer from the European Certification and Qualification Association. So, there's a lot to take in. Stay with us to know more about the LTA project.
Red Film Radio.
Accessible cinema.
Let's start then with our first guests. We are going to listen to an excerpt from an interview with the LTA project coordinator, Rocío Barnabecaro, deputy head of the Professional College of Translation and Interpreting of the SDI in Munich in Germany, and with Pilar Orero, one of the partners of the project, full professor of audiovisual translation at the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona. Just let me remind you that this, but also our next interviews, are all available on Fred's website.
Rocío, what is Live Text Access, first of all, and what are the main objectives of this project?
Well, our project is all about interlingual real-time subtitling, mm-hmm. about the provision of the service. I mean, the main aim of the project is to create training materials for training real-time interlingual subtitlers. The thing is, at the moment, the situation in Europe is like you have the legislation, you have the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, you have the Audiovisual Media Service Directive, mm-hmm. the Accessibility Act, you have all this legislation triggering actually to provide services. So you see the market and you have the providers providing the services, the subtitling. You have the educational sector, which is actually creating training and training professionals. Mm-hmm. But we see you have the users as well, and the users are saying that the quality of the service that is being provided at the moment is not regular enough or good enough.
It's not
sometimes.
Good enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's actually where we came into action, where we said, okay, so we can get together, bring the industry together, the service providers, bring the education as well in the project, and then create teaching materials for training good real-time interlingual subtitlers. And that's actually how everything started. And I must say, that wasn't my idea. Pilar has to take credit for this one. She was the one who initiated, actually. Yes, it was you.
Okay, it was me, but you need a seed, and you planted the seed.
I submit it, that's true.
I would have never come up with the idea of easy to read subtitles or easy to listen or the description if it hadn't been because Rocío's MA dissertation was on easy to read, mm-hmm. and that's true.
How can we define easy to read?
Well, easy to read is just a way of writing that is simplified. It's for people who don't really have access to information because it's written in a very complicated way. Complicated might be just because you're using specialized terminology or the sentences are far too complicated, far too long. So at the very second where you say, you know, this is too complicated, we want to make it easier, is where you start creating easy to understand content.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be plain language or easy to read. Actually, easy to read is a set of guidelines that tell you how to implement information, how to write it in order to make it easier to understand.
Mm-hmm. So the project will basically harmonize the professional profile of real-time subtitlers across Europe and create open source training materials. Is it correct?
Yes, we're an Erasmus project, and all the materials and documents that are created have to be open source and accessible for everybody.
Okay.
So that's okay. One of the goals, of course. Yeah.
So, well, we can say I understand from what you have just said that the LTA project sees accessibility like kind of fundamental human right, Pilar?
Well, it is. We live in a society where access to internet and access to media and audiovisual content, it's basic. If you want to do any, I don't know where you live, but if you want to do any paperwork or any democratic participation in society these days, it's done through internet. So if you don't have internet connection and you don't have access to internet, at universities we teach with audiovisual materials. We no longer teach with just a paper and a pen. So I think if people are not can't access to this content, then they are basically out of society. So they are excluded from society. And that's not only my point of view, that's the United Nations point of view.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This one, I think, basically we have to integrate everybody. And everybody, most people can be integrated very easily, but some people can't because they have one problem or another. Mm-hmm. You may not have a finger to press the button to switch on your internet, or you may have no internet connection, or you may be blind and don't have access to the audiovisual. So there are many issues. Maybe you speak a different language for that spoken in the yeah. So I mean, if you put me in Japan, I can't read and I can't hear because what I don't understand.
No.
So me in Japan needs a hell of a lot of accessibility. So that's the issue. That we need to secure everybody can communicate, because communication to me is what differentiates us, you know, verbal communication from animals.
From animals, yeah, definitely.
Come on. We have to be able to communicate.
Yeah, yeah.
And visually with everyone. And otherwise it's solitude. That is horrible.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Rocío Barnabecaro and Pilar Herrero, who described the LTA project, its main steps and objectives. As Rocío and Pilar said, at present, subtitlers lack specific training and the profession has not clear or recognized status. So the LTA project aims to design an effective and certified curriculum for real-time intralinguary speakers and velotypists. But who are the respeakers and who are the velotypists? To know more about these two professional profiles, stay with us. We'll be back soon with our next guest.
Fred. Hello and welcome to Fred Film Radio. I'm Amani Mohammed.
Fred Film Radio, sono Paolo De Marchi.
簡単にその先生の作品のあの紹介を.
Fred Film Radio, sono Dana Knight.
Clémence Ferry-Latour for Fred Film Radio, en direct du Festival de Cannes.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
This is Accessible Cinema. We are getting to know the Live Text Access Project together with the partners of the project. As Rocío Barnabecaro and Pilar Herrero said, re-speakers and velotypists trained by the LTA will have suitable skills to provide high-quality subtitles in many different contexts. But what is re-speaking and what does velotype mean? To know more about this, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Carlo Eugeni, lecturer in conference interpreting at the Advanced School for Interpreters and Translators in Pisa, Italy, and trainer of re-speakers.
I understand also from your personal experience that bridging somehow research and practice is key to improving the profession, right? And this is basically what the Live Text Access Project, the LTA, wants to do by designing a curriculum for real-time live subtitlers. Well, first of all, are re-speakers and real-time live subtitlers synonyms, or are they different somehow?
Well, there is a lot of terminology flows
in mm-hmm. the field, because the field is very new, and in 10 years, let's say, many people have investigated on it, talked on it, and sometimes people have invented terminology.
New terms. Mm-hmm.
Re-speaking, per se, is the name of a technique by which the re-speaker listens to the speaker and repeats what he says, or reformulates what he says, or mm-hmm. even translates what he says, and talks into a microphone which sends the input to speech-to-text recognition software, which basically it translates what it hears by the re-speaker, and translates the voice input into written words.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite complex, but it is similar to the job of the simultaneous interpreter.
Oh, okay.
The simultaneous
mm-hmm.
interpreter listens and repeats.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the software transcribes what the re-speaker says
okay.
into written words.
Okay.
This means that you can produce, through re-speaking, text for many contexts. For
mm-hmm.
example, you can produce live subtitles for TV programs, you can produce live reports for parliamentary assemblies,
mm-hmm.
you can produce transcriptions of meetings during which you have deaf people attending, so that deaf people are able to follow a speech event such as a conference or a job meeting. Live subtitling is something else. It is a context where re-speaking can be used.
Oh, okay.
But
mm-hmm.
re-speaking is only a technique. We also have velotype. Velotype is a typing technique. So basically the job of the velotypist is that of producing text live by listening to it, to a speaker, and typing.
So different professional profiles, let's say. Okay.
Yeah.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Carlo Eugeni from the Advanced School for Interpreters and Translators in Pisa, which will lead the intellectual output number 2 of the LTA project, that is the curriculum and course design in intralingual real-time respeaking and velotyping. As Carlo said, both respeaking and velotyping are fast writing techniques which are used to produce real-time subtitles for many different contexts. And with our next guest, we will know more about real-time subtitles of live TV programs. So don't move. We'll be back soon.
It is estimated that 1 in 6 people have some sort of sensory impairment or disability, which means that 1 in 6 people cannot fully understand your film without subtitles for the deaf or hard of hearing, as well as audio descriptions for the blind or visually impaired. SubT Access generates accessible versions of films and makes media content accessible to a sensory impaired audience. SubT Access. Access services for the media. SubT Access. Your vision for all. SubT.com.
Accessible Cinema, we are getting more and more familiar with the Live Text Access project, which tackles the mismatch between trained and needed skills in the labor market by a collaboration between educational and non-educational partners. Among the non-educational partners, there is ZDF Digital, an affiliate of the public broadcaster ZDF based in Germany, which, among other things, creates live subtitles and other accessible services for many different contexts. So let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Miriam Angman, International Project Coordinator at ZDF Digital, to know more about real-time subtitles of live TV programs.
As I said, ZDF Digital is one of the partners of the project. Among other things, the company I know that provides live subtitles. Is it correct, Miriam?
That is correct. We uh-huh. provide live subtitles for parts of the ZDF program.
Uh-huh.
They have a live subtitling department, but they cannot do all because live subtitling is very time-consuming.
Can you tell us more about this accessible service, Miriam?
Yeah.
What is live subtitling?
Yeah. So live subtitling. How does it work? most people are not aware that live subtitling really implies a live situation. So the program that is broadcasted with live subtitles is broadcasted on the internet, but also on television. So you can, via the teletext, as audience, you can add the live subtitles. And for the live subtitles, you mostly need a team of three live subtitlers to work on it. So they need to work together because it's a very demanding task.
Complex activity, yes. Mm-hmm.
All the time. And it works in the following way. So the live subtitler works with re-speaking, so you might want to know what re-speaking is.
Yes, possibly. Thank you.
And so the live subtitler hears what, for example, the people on TV live say via earphones, and repeats basically every word that is said on TV. Sometimes they skip words that are not so important, but they repeat it and speak it into an automatic speech recognition. Why is that? So if you have the speech recognition trying to repeat everything that the TV person says, it's not going to be recognized because you have to speak in a certain ductus and in a certain way. The speech recognition then recognizes what is said and puts it into writing. So while the re-speaker re-speaks, he listens what the person on TV continues to say. And while he does those two tasks, he also looks at what the speech recognition transcribes and, if necessary, needs to correct what is written, because sometimes the speech recognition might just not correctly understand and transcribe what is said. So, for example, one example would be if the person says, we want to explore the city, the speech recognition might recognize, we want to explode the city. So this is something that needs to correct it, because, I mean, it makes people laugh because it's obviously a mistake, but it's better to correct things.
Okay, and so then, as for live subtitling, just trying to sum up, well, only the main outlines, the subject and the participants of a given program are known. I mean, the rest happens live, let's say, in real time and unpredictably.
Yeah, unpredictably. So then sometimes they know, for example, in a TV show, who are going to be the guests that are going to be invited. So,
okay.
For example, if you were invited and they would probably train their speech recognition before with your name and say several times Francesca Raffi in order to make it recognize your name correctly and transcribe it correctly, because otherwise it's probably going
to be
right.
Challenging. And Miriam, once the subtitles are corrected, let's say, and eventually shortened, what happens?
So what happens after all this task of re-speaking, transcription, correcting, it's of course the most important part, the sending of the subtitles, because if you don't send them, they're not going to appear on TV. So what happens is that they have, during all those processes they are doing, they have to send the subtitles, and they also have to focus that they don't send it too quickly so that people are still able to read it. And then they also have to respect a certain time. So our goal is to have a delay of 3 seconds. So
there is also a huge
gap between what is said on TV and the subtitle appears. This is very important. So we try to have a delay of 3 seconds between the live situation and the subtitle. And I guess so it's between 3 and 6 seconds, the delay, and mostly there are certain techniques to catch up with what is said by shortening very much, but mostly they are able to respect those 3 seconds.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Miriam Angman, who told us how real-time subtitles are created for live TV programs.
As Miriam said, the re-speaker listens to the speakers and simultaneously repeats, reformulates or even translates what they say to a microphone connected to an automatic speech recognition software. This automatically recognizes the re-speaker's voice and turns it into written words, that is, the real-time subtitles. However, there is a further way to provide live subtitles, so not by re-speaking, but by Velotype. If you want to know more about Velotypists and the Velotype keyboard, well, stay with us. We will be right back.
Fred.
This is Natasha Sinjanović for Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, z vami sam Bor Pretešek.
Fred Film Radio, sono Angela Prudenzi.
Essa Fred Film Radio, e aqui é Mariane Morissal, do Festival de Berlim.
Angela Cerbi por Fred Film Radio, on est au Festival de Venise.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
Accessible Cinema, we are exploring the ways in which live subtitles can be produced and made available for different contexts. It is clear from what we have learned so far, thanks to our guests, that live subtitlers need to be specially trained. And this is the reason why the LTA project has been launched, to design an effective and certified curriculum for both real-time intralingual speakers and Velotypists. And Velotype, the Dutch company which invented the Velotype keyboard, is one of the partners of the project. So, to know more about this, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Wim Gerbex, co-founder of Velotype, the only company in the world that produces and sells the Velotype keyboard. How does this keyboard work, Wim? Because, of course, it has nothing to do with a computer keyboard, right? How does it work?
Well, it's quite a different way of typing. When you type on a normal keyboard, you press one key and you get one character each time.
Mm-hmm.
With the Velotype keyboard, the idea is that you type a chord of keys.
Mm-hmm.
So you press several keys simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
And with every chord of keys, you get a whole syllable or a whole word. So it's a very different way of typing, but in the end, much more efficient.
Okay, so by pressing several keys simultaneously, we can make, let's say, complete syllables and words. So instead of typing character by character, is it correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yes.
All right. So being a quick way of typing, I imagine it is especially useful when we need to type at a higher speed. What are the main application contexts in which this keyboard is used, Wim?
Well, the invention of the keyboard was basically just for anybody who wants to type at a quicker speed,
uh-huh,
and more efficiently. But eventually, the main applications for this keyboard are for the support of hard of hearing,
mm-hmm,
in all different situations. So you can imagine you can use it at a big event where many people are watching your text, but even at the doctor or even at a job interview, when you sit next to somebody who is deaf or hard of hearing,
uh-huh,
you type directly what the conversation is about, and they can read along immediately. So it's a very good support for deaf and hard of hearing people.
Ah, okay.
And besides that, it's also being used for live subtitling for television through teletext for many years. So the people who watch television at home, they see the live subtitling also by the use of Velotype.
Ah, okay. So the Velotypists listen to the speakers and simultaneously type what they say using the Velotype keyboard, right?
Yes, exactly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you have to be really trained for it. Of course, you have to know how to use the keyboard. But besides that, you have to be trained to listen to speakers, to also understand all the different accents, and then try to type it as quickly as possible. So you can imagine also the spelling, the knowledge of the spelling of words is very important when you do this work.
Yes. We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Wim Gerbex, the inventor of the modern version of the Velotype keyboard, a product which, as Wim said, has revolutionized the way of typing, especially within the context of live subtitling. As Wim explained, the Velotypists listen to the speakers and simultaneously type what they say using the Velotype keyboard. This covers over 30 languages and has shown to deliver superior results in noisy environments and when it comes to high quality orthographic typing. And quality in media accessibility will be the focus of our next interview. So, if you want to know more about this, stay with us. We will be back soon with our next guest.
We translate for those who can't understand. We write for those who can't hear. We describe for those who can't see. SubT, subtitles and accessibility for film, television and theatre. SubT.com.
Accessible cinema, we are talking about media accessibility, inclusion, the status of accessibility in the media industry and the need to provide high quality media accessibility. And quality training in real-time subtitling across Europe is the focus of the LiveText Access project. As our previous guests, all of them partners of the LTA project, emphasized, the provision of access to people with a hearing disability across Europe is uneven and its quality uncontrolled or insufficient. To know more about quality in media accessibility, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Esteia Onchins, postdoctoral researcher at Transmedia Catalonia, a research group from the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona. Well, the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona has taken over the role of quality manager in the project. So how important is quality, Esteia? Because I think that the focus of accessibility providers, but also researchers, but also users and professionals, has somehow gradually shifted from quantity to quality. What do you think, Esteia?
Yes, it is true. A lot of studies and research on audiovisual translation have focused since the beginning on which are the practices. Also, there has been a lot of research on corpus, which is which we could say it's a quantity thing.
Yeah.
But since the last years, the research in the audiovisual translation field,
media accessibility in general,
it's focusing and within audiovisual translation accessibility, it's focusing more and more on user approach, no?
Yeah.
It's taking a more and more user-centric approach.
Yes.
So when talking on about accessibility, we have, as a researchers and also as a practitioners, we have also to take into account which is the position of the user, how the user is going to receive our
accessibility services, yes.
Our accessibility services.
Yes. And how important is quality in accessibility, Esteia? What do you think?
It's very, very important because at the end, quality will have a direct impact on a good or a bad reception.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's gonna determine the aim of the service, no?
Yeah.
Because if you provide accessibility, what you want is that the user receives the content properly.
Yeah. That you meet the user's needs, yes.
Right.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Esteia Onchins from the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona, which has taken over the role of quality manager in the LTA project. As Esteia said, they will be dealing with the fourth phase of the LTA project entitled Intellectual Output Number 4, conducting, among other things, user-centered evaluations with the prospective trainers and trainees. And one of the partners of the LTA project is precisely an end user association. So if you want to know more about the LTA project from a user's point of view, stay with us. We will be back soon.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicolo Comotti here at Venice Days.
Fred Film Radio, sono Chiara Nicoletti.
Angelo Acerbi per Fred Film Radio, on è al Festival di Venice.
Fred Film Radio, z vami sono Bor Pleterski.
Fred Film Radio, radio filmowy Fred, z tej strony Anna Tatarska.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
Accessible cinema, we are talking about quality and a user-centered approach within the LTA project and within the broader framework of media accessibility. With our previous guests, we looked at live subtitling from the point of view of educational partners and service providers. But what about end users? Let's listen then to an excerpt from an interview with Marcel Bobeldech, the president of the European Federation of Hard of Hearing People, one of the partners of the LTA project, who will give us an overview of the current situation regarding real-time subtitling in Europe. So, accessibility for hard of hearing people means a broad range of assistive technology, and the LTA project deals in particular with the real-time subtitles. And I know that the European Federation of Hard of Hearing People regularly publishes surveys and comparative documents showing the rates of subtitling in member countries. So, Marcel, what is the current situation regarding real-time subtitling, and why are real-time subtitles so important?
It is important that all other human people have the same access to information to everyone, and it is in our opinion and human right that also other human people have the access to the information. Is it on television? Is it on website? But it's also access to cultural life, for movies in the cinema, and also to plays in the theater, etc. Mm-hmm. And what we see, there is a big gap in Europe. Example, in countries like the Netherlands and UK, they have very well organized text reporters. The distinction in the Netherlands and UK are a little bit different. But example, in Sweden, they have well organized the subtitling on the Swedish movies in the cinemas. That is example not happened in the Netherlands. So that there are difference between European countries, and there is also not a standardization. This is maybe an example. When you look in the Netherlands to subtitling on television, you use via teletext page 888, and in Germany they use other numbers. So that is so that when you visit Germany as tourists, it is very difficult to find out the subtitling on television. Of course, when you know the numbers, you know it, but at least for each channel, is it different. So the, what you see, example, in France, they have hard working for more and more subtitling, and also in Belgium, and also in Finland, and Sweden, Norway, and also in the Czech Republic and Spain. But we see that not always the quality of the subtitling is very well.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Marcel Bobeldech, the president of the European Federation of Hard of Hearing People, which regularly publishes surveys and comparative documents showing the rates of subtitling in member countries. As Marcel said, there is a big gap in Europe, with some countries leading the way and others following. But as Marcel underlined, it is important for hard of hearing people to have the same access to information as everyone, everywhere. This is why the LTA project aims to define a new quality professional profile who can be deployed in different media, social and cultural contexts across Europe. And the LTA will achieve its aims by leaning on the certification process of the European Certification and Qualification Association, which is an LTA partner. So, to know more about the certification process and the future of the LTA project, don't miss our next guest. We will be right back.
It is estimated that 1 in 6 people have some sort of sensory impairment or disability, which means that 1 in 6 people cannot fully understand your film without subtitles for the deaf or hard of hearing, as well as audio descriptions for the blind or visually impaired. SubT Access generates accessible versions of films and makes media content accessible to a sensory impaired audience. SubT Access, access services for the media. SubT Access, your vision for all. SubT.com.
Accessible Cinema, we are talking about media accessibility, users' needs, and the importance of creating certified qualifications to provide high-quality live subtitles across Europe. And among the partners of the LTA project, there is also a European certification partner, the European Certification and Qualification Association, a non-for-profit association joining institutions and several thousands of professionals from all over Europe and abroad. So, to learn more about this association and its role within the LTA project, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Gabriele Sauberer, Vice President of the European Certification and Qualification Association.
You are now Vice President of the European Certification and Qualification Association,
yes,
among many other things.
Yes.
The association provides a worldwide unified certification schema for numerous professions. Can you tell us more about the certification procedure?
Yes. This, again, was a great opportunity for me when I met ECQA. It was 10, 15 years ago. And my goal always was to provide language professionals with European certificates. I was one of the first people in Austria who did the European computer driving license.
Oh.
And what ECQA does is exactly the same what ECDL is, so a computer driving license, but with professions, with all kinds of new and emerging job roles. We started with innovation manager, but when I joined ECQA 10 years ago, we developed an international European certificate for terminology managers, because this was a job role you couldn't actually graduate from universities when you had language studies or translation studies. There was some parts of it tackling terminology, but
terminology,
only a few.
Yeah,
so this was the first time professional terminology workers could prove that they had the necessary skills and competences to do terminology management at the professional level. And the same thing, actually, we are doing for the LTA project, where intralingual real-time re-speakers and subtitlers will get a certificate or certification scheme, basically. For the first time, they will then be able to show that what they are doing in practice and that this is complying with European standards.
Mm-hmm.
And the exciting thing is that in that project, we are creating this standard. It is not existing. Do subtitling and do re-speaking in real time, but there are no, common standard how this actually should be
done. And this complementary mix of educational and non-educational partners is definitely one of the main strengths of the LTA project, I think. So
exactly. I couldn't agree more. And, to make such a project sustainable, we will also establish a so-called job role committee, including these various accessibility stakeholders, who then, after the end of the project, continue working together and therefore assuring the quality and sustainability of the project outcome. And this job role committee will be composed of the partners of, not all of the, of course, but those who are really committed and who have, of course, also the resources to continue. Implement the certification.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Gabriele Sauberer, the Vice President of the European Certification and Qualification Association, that is the partner which will lead the intellectual output number 5 of the LTA project, the last step of the project. As Gabriele said, the certification process of the European Certification and Qualification Association will be adapted and applied in and after the LTA project. And if you want to know more about the 5 main steps of the LTA project, well, don't miss the whole interviews with all the partners, which are available on FRED website. The nature of the LTE project and the complementary mix of educational and non-educational partners involved confirm once again that media accessibility is gaining momentum, but also that media accessibility crosses many domains and involves everyone. Researchers, trainers, trainees, regulators, broadcasters, users, social activists, cultural managers, and many more. And all those interested in media accessibility, and more specifically in audio description, well, cannot miss the 7th edition of our SAD, the Advanced Research Seminar on Audio Description, which will take place on March the 19th all day and 20th morning in Barcelona. For more than 10 years now, the International Seminar on Audio Description, ARSAD, is the meeting point for all stakeholders interested in audio description research and practice, who will be involved in a lively discussion on some fundamental aspects related to audio description, such as technological innovation, new audio description distribution, and audio description policies and regulations, to name but a few. More on the 7th edition of our SAD in our next episode of Accessible Cinema.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 64th Berlin International Film Festival.
Io sono Valentina Pompili al Tokyo International Film Festival.
Soy Antonio Becker y estoy aquí con...
Im internationalen Filmfestspielen in Berlin. Mein Name ist Beatrice Beden.
Herren Begumfi, Fred Film Radio.
Fred, the festival experience... in 23 languages.
If you want to keep track of what is going on in the field of media accessibility, but you cannot attend ARSAD 2019, well, you can visit MAP website, Media Accessibility Platform, where you can also listen to our next episode of Accessible Cinema. Bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi, and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.